Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend.
Well, welcome everyone to today's episode of Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, coming to you live from Sam's Town in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I will be here every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. I am so glad to have you guys here with me today. I think we've got a really good show. As I was sitting here talking to my husband this morning going, you know, what are we going to talk about on the show today? We're trying to banter back and forth, come up with a really hot topic. Because I really want to make sure that today's call is really, really special. Now, I think I got some good stuff. We're going to see if that's true. I'm going to unmute the line for a couple of callers in a second, so I want to make sure that you guys can hear me. So let me see who I've got here with me that I can unmute just to make sure you guys are hearing me, because we've had some technical glitches in the past. Caller calling from possibly overseas. Trying to unmute you now. Let me know. Can you hear me? Okay, I've got a caller from area code 000. That either means you're calling from the computer or Skype, or you're coming from overseas. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Ah, is that Shelby?
Yes.
Yay, you can hear me. That's wonderful. Well, I am really glad you can hear me, Miss Shelby. So can I leave you unmuted? Would you mind?
No, I don't mind at all.
So you'll be my guinea pig?
Of course, if Petey lets me.
Well, you know, Petey's always welcome on my show. And for our listeners out there, Petey is Shelby's bird. He just loves hearing my voice, and every time Petey hears me, he likes to talk back. I can't figure out what he's saying half the time, but hey, isn't that what relationship marketing is all about? Trying to figure out what other people have to say. So, Shelby, here's the topic that Bill and I were thinking about for today's show. Tell me what you think. I started out with the whole concept of social media. I said, okay, hon, I want to talk about social media today. What can I talk about? He says, well, how about something to do with social media and the holidays? I'm like, well, what good does that have to do with one another? They don't go together. So what I came up with was using social media to help you recession-proof your business. How does that hit you, Shelby?
I think that's especially now.
Especially now. That was exactly what Bill had to say about it, especially now. So you've heard me talk enough about social media and social marketing and a little about the concept of recession-proofing your business. What does that mean to you?
Well, recession-proofing means that, to me, means that it shows you a way to where you can have an income coming in despite the fact that the economy has gone to pot.
That is precisely what we're talking about. And basically, we're talking about having a business that works in any economy, a good economy, a bad economy, an in-between economy, a business that works through thick and through thin. Now, what we have to remember is that the businesses that I'm talking about building are businesses that use the power of the internet. If you're going to really use the power of the internet to your advantage, recession-proofing your business is like the ultimate way of using the internet. Because even if you're an offline business, you can bring your offline business to the internet, harness the power of the internet so that you can build a truly global business instead of just a local geographical business, one that's brick and mortar just on one street. you can now become truly a world-class, worldwide business. When we talk about the concept of recession-proofing your business, the fact that the internet is global is the key to why it is such an essential tool for recession-proofing your business. Here's what happens. If any one economy in the world is really down, like we are here in the U.S. right now, the other areas of the world are not necessarily in the same suit. Most of the world right now is actually thriving big time, simply because the economy is so depressed here in the U.S. There's always a supply and demand, a give and a take. If our economy is down and our dollar is down, it makes the currencies of other countries that much stronger. Countries that own a lot of the U.S. dollars, countries like China and Hong Kong and Japan, they own so many U.S. dollars that they literally can make or break our economy. They own that much money simply by trading currencies in the open market. China, if I'm not mistaken, actually owns more U.S. dollars than the United States government does. Now, that's a lot of dollars. So if you can build your business around this concept of becoming a truly global business and making sure that not any one country accounts for more than 20% of your prospects, your customers, your traffic, your subscriber list, you have a truly recession-proof business. So, Ms. Shelby, let me ask you, if your goal is to make sure that not one country represents more than 20% of any part of your business, how would you use social marketing to make that happen?
Oh, good idea. Good question.
It is a good question.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know.
Well, then let me see if I can help you get a grasp on what I'm talking about and see if you can relate to this. So let's say we said, okay, this month, let's focus on getting folks from Europe involved in our business. We're going to put traffic out there, get that traffic from Europe. We're going to build our list from Europe this month. We're going to get new customers from Europe this month. If you wanted to reach only people from Europe, how would you use Facebook, for example? Any idea?
No, I don't. I'm hoping.
Easy one. This one's really easy. How about go find friends who reside in Europe? Literally that easy.
Yeah, it is.
But nobody ever thinks to do that. You never really put two and two together to go, holy cow, why don't I think of doing this?
That's true.
So,
I never thought of doing that.
A couple of groups of apprentices ago, I really wanted to focus on Europe. I wanted a good number of students in that particular class to be from Europe. How did I make that happen? Because it did happen. How did I make that happen? Well, I went and had all my traffic sources, my sites like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. I just had all the people we invited into my network that month come from Europe, every single one of them. I then went and ran some paid Facebook ads because you can target very, very narrowly defined geographics and demographics using a paid Facebook ad. I ran about $30 worth of paid ads in Facebook. We're not talking big bucks here, folks. $30. Ended up with 7 students in that one group from Europe. Now, it's not just as simple as simply inviting the friends from the right place. You got to understand the differences between your audiences and know in your market, what that means in terms of people from a specific geographical area. When you're talking about getting people from different areas of the world, they're going to have different problems. They're going to have different interests. Different topics are going to resonate with different areas of the country in different ways. So you really got to study what those differences are among the countries in your niche. Sometimes I'll even find that the audience in the U.S. is one age group, but the audience in, say, the U.K. or Switzerland is a completely different age group. Usually you can find some sort of statistics from associations in your market that can help you to better clearly see that. If you can't find those kinds of statistics, another way of doing it is to see if you can find some sites that are primarily in another country. So like something that would have a .co.uk extension as opposed to a .com. And go study those sites and see if they've got a forum or if they have a blog that has comments on it or things along those lines that can give you some better insight into who that audience really is and what their needs and wants and desires really are. That helps tremendously. Another big, big, big thing to do. When you're trying to attract a specific geographical region, make sure that whatever landing page you're using for your campaign, it has testimonials on it from people in that area of the world, even if it's only one. The difference is, if you're here in the U.S., we just look for testimonials when we're just Americans. Canadians, I think, they're primarily looking for just testimonials, too, although Canadians tend to be very pro-Canadian, and they'd love to see a testimonial that also says, from Canada. When you're dealing with the other countries in the world, they really look for recommendations from other people in their area of the world. People from Europe want to know that people from Europe really like what you've got to offer. So inside of your testimonials, make sure that below the person's name, you also include where he or she is from. It can make all the difference in the world in whether or not your campaign is successful or not. Huge, 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 huge pointer there. All of these social networks allow you to search on different criteria. So whether you're talking about using MySpace or Facebook or LinkedIn or one of the Ning.com sites, go search for people who are your target audience, whether that's men or women, doesn't matter. Find out who they are. And then go out and search for men in their 50s in the UK, women in their 30s in Switzerland, women in their 40s from Japan. Go find those people, invite them to be your friends, and put a plan together for how you're going to attract them to web pages that include these testimonials, that include people's geographic locations. You could even start a group in any one of the social networking sites, doesn't matter which one. You could even start a group that would be country-specific. So let's say you're in the skincare business. You could create a group on Facebook called Asian Skincare Tips. Would you attract more people from Asia to a group called Asian Skincare Tips? Pretty likely. If you were in internet marketing, would you attract more people from the UK if you created something called the UK Internet Marketers Club? Pretty good chance. Now, to make a group like that work, you'd be better off if you could go out and find just one person who could be on the board of that group inside of the social networking site. That just gives you a little bit more credibility, number one. Number two, it gives you a local person whose story you can use to help bring other people into your group. Now, if you can't find somebody who's willing to do that with you, think about how you can build your story around the fact that you're only in this other country that has nothing to do with where you live. So I have a story about my dad. My dad, when I was growing up, used to be president of North American operations for a Japanese firm. He was the only American president, served for like 20-some years. It was kind of a big deal. This particular company typically only hires Japanese executives. My dad was an American. So if I were to start the Japanese Internet Marketers Group or the Japanese Self-Improvement Group or whatever market I decided I wanted to tap into, I could talk about how my dad had been president of this company, how growing up that gave me a lot of interaction with people from Japan, and I got to really learn and respect their culture and their beliefs. And so just going on in life, I've decided that I really want to reconnect with all those people in Japan that I used to know and see and talk to all the time. So I've decided to start the Japanese Internet Marketers Club or the Japanese Self-Improvement Club or whatever it is that I'm calling my group. That little story gives you the credibility that you need for being able to go out and successfully reach out to that particular audience. And just by having a story that's that basic, you'll be able to attract gobs of people from that area of the world. Now, don't short-sheet yourself and only think about the kinds of things that I'm specifically mentioning on today's show. Think big picture here. Because let's say you happen to be doing teleconferences as part of this promotion that you're working on. You got to remember, if you're doing teleconferences to attract people from other areas of the world, that also means you need to respect their time zones, not your own. You wouldn't want to do a call for people in Europe at 8 p.m., at least not 8 p.m. Eastern time, because 8 p.m. Eastern time is going to most likely be sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. in most of Europe. They're not going to show up for your call. If you really want to attract people from Europe, try doing a call between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. That's more like from 4 to 8 p.m. out in the UK. Pretty good time for them. People are just coming home from work. They're just getting done with tea. They can sit down for a little while and relax to really pay attention to your teleconference. You will get a lot more people from Europe in the 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time zone if you're holding teleconferences. If you're holding teleconferences for, say, someone who's in Australia, well, they're 12 hours different. If you typically hold your calls at 8 p.m. Eastern time, well, guess what? If you want to attract people from Australia, that means you're going to try and hold your calls at 8 a.m. Eastern time. It might sound like an odd time for a call, but if you're really trying to attract people from a certain geographic area, that's what it takes to actually make that work. Does that make sense to you, Shelby?
Absolutely, it makes a lot of sense.
So what kind of questions do you have about doing that kind of thing yourself?
Well, first of all, where would I go to find the demographics of how to do this? To be able to find that, right?
One of my favorite ways of finding those demographics is to look for associations that have statistics in your market. So the search engines that I like to use for that are not Google and Yahoo. The search engine I prefer to use for that kind of a search is
ask.com. It's what people call Ask Jeeves. It seems to work much better for narrowing down this type of search data. Don't ask me why. I can't tell you why. Just know that it works that way. To use it appropriately, take a keyword related to your market. So let's just use weddings as an example because I happen to have a really good example with this one. You would go to ask.com and you'd put in wedding association statistics. Or wedding association buying habit statistics. If you did that with weddings, on the front page of your search results, you'd come up with a site called bridalassociationofamerica.com. Bridalassociationofamerica.com. About halfway down the page on the left, you'll see fun facts, and the last link says wedding statistics. If you click through to the wedding statistics on the next page, you'll see a link that says online wedding statistics. You click through to that, it's going to take you right to all the buying habits of people on the internet interested in weddings. In those statistics, you'll be able to see all of the demographics about who those people really are. Where do they live? How old are they? Is it primarily the women or the men, and what percentages? Anything and everything that you want to know about that audience, you will find in those statistics. Just about every single niche out there has some sort of big association associated with it. And those associations almost all put out statistics. If you can't find them just doing searches on the internet, at least find the names of the associations, go to their websites, grab their phone numbers, pick up the telephone, and call them. And if you call them, 9 times out of 10, they will be able to give you exactly where you need to go on their website to see those statistics. On occasion, they're going to tell you, well, sorry, it's only available to paid members of the association. This is where doing joint ventures can be a particularly helpful thing. If they tell you, well, sorry, it's going to cost you $5,000 to get those statistics, ask to talk to somebody in their marketing department or the head of their marketing department or their vice president of marketing. When you get that person on the phone, talk to this person about how you're just getting ready to go out with this big promotion, that you've got this business that's partially based on the internet or all based on the internet, a business that uses the power of the internet is how I would say it, and that your audience is also their audience. That in doing this promotion, you really have a need for these statistics, but that you also want to serve your audience. Offer to take something, whether it's a banner, a text ad, it doesn't matter, something to promote their site and put it into the sidebar of your blog. Maybe even do a review of that association right on your blog. Use the association's name as a keyword to focus that article. And then what I would do at least that one time is I would do it with no affiliate link, just so that in referring people to that association, they really feel like you went above and beyond so that they will be willing to give you what it is that you're looking for in the way of statistics without making you pay for it. I've personally used that technique numerous occasions, and it works like a charm every single time. It's simply a matter of getting the right person onto the phone to converse with them in the first place. That part can be a little bit trickier. But if you can find that right person, just getting them to give you the statistics shouldn't be that big of an issue. That should be pretty darn straightforward. I wonder if we have anybody else on the air with us today, Shelby? What other questions do you have about doing this, Shelby?
Well, is there,
Oh, I know what else I wanted to say. In doing this, on occasion, one thing you might find is that some social networks are going to work better than others. For example, if you look at Facebook and MySpace, one is going to be heavier in some countries, the other is going to be heavier in other countries. Most of the time, social networks tend to be a little bit region-specific. There are also social networks that are meant just for people in certain regions. You might want to look into, in your market, which one of the sites has a bigger audience in that market that you're trying to go after. That would really make a big difference in terms of the number of people you can reach, as well as the number of people that you already have access to that also have access to other people. So kind of like the 6 degrees of separation thing we talked about on LinkedIn last time, the friends of the friends and the friends of the friends of the friends, so that if you could only do a certain amount of work, how can you maximize your reach? Could you go into that particular site that has a bigger audience in the country you want to go after, invite only 100 friends, and get what you're doing in front of those 100 friends, 10,000 friends? Or is it, if you go to another site, could you maybe still reach out to that 100 friends but have access to 100,000 of their friends? So you want to look at which network has that greater number and how active those members are within the social network. That's a really helpful thing to do. For just about every country out there, even those that are not English native speaking, I would really strongly encourage you to consider doing either a Blog Talk radio show, a teleconference, a something to build the relationship with that audience. Just having that relationship is so important. And by taking what you're doing and turning it into a teleconference on top of the other things that you're doing, meaning giving away a free report, selling a product, selling a service, whatever, adding that teleconference component really humanizes you to your audience, especially when you guys live on opposite sides of the globe. You want the people who are your prospects to know that you're a real person. You can only do so much to show people that you're a real person through a social networking site. Sure, you've got quite a few options in most of them, but it's still no substitute for having a separate landing page, a separate opt-in page, a separate something. And then using that to populate people into a teleconference where they can really hear you. You can really interact with them in ways that you just can't do in an email. You just can't do in a blog, and you just can't do in an info product. It makes so much more of an impression. And your audience who is on that teleconference is much more likely to perceive you as an influencer. That's your true outcome from this whole exercise we've been talking about today, is how do you build relationships with these people? Because just driving traffic from these areas is not enough. Without that relationship aspect, it's not likely to turn into actual dollars and cents in your pocket. And teleconferences really help you to do that in a very, very big way. I am just going to look at a search in Facebook real quick to see if there is anything in there that shows me how many users they have in a specific country. I think there might be something that tells me that. So bear with me while I look. That's actually a question I'd be interested in knowing the answer to. Don't you think that would be a nice thing to know, Shelby?
Oh, that'd be a wonderful thing to know.
Yeah, that's what I was thrilled to. Hello, Petey.
Oh, I believe he's even trying to say hi to you.
I think he is. Sure sounds like it anyway. How he hears my voice is beyond me. I have no idea how he even hears it through the phone.
You wouldn't believe it, but I think birds have excellent hearing.
They must, because he seems to always know when it's me on the phone, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does.
Always, 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 always. Oh, I see. So, I'm trying to also work on our communication with you guys out in the audience, because the dashboard that they have available here for Blog Talk Radio is just not as helpful as I would like it to be, to tell you the truth. I wish it really did what I wanted to do half the time. Sometimes I can see the right stuff, sometimes I can't. So I don't always know who's in the crowd and who's not in the crowd and things like that. So if you're here, I apologize if I don't know that you're here. No, Shelby, I'm wrong. It doesn't tell me how many people are in a specific country. I was really thinking it did. Let me try just searching for a country's name, and let's see what we come up with. Okay, if I just put in United Kingdom, there are, oh my goodness, I can't tell you how many different things in Facebook. There is an application called I Love United Kingdom. It's a country flag. There is Shop and Share in United Kingdom. It's another application. There are thousands and thousands of people who live in the United Kingdom. There are lots more who are, how would I even describe them? People who don't live in the United Kingdom, but citizens of the United Kingdom who live elsewhere. There are groups, Trailer Park Musical, United Kingdom. I think that one might be an actual person. There is the Bar Book from the United Kingdom. My goodness, there is so much related to the United Kingdom inside of Facebook, it's not even funny. I know that even in upcoming.yahoo.com, which is the tool that I use to publicize my events, that they do allow groups inside of that as well. And I was browsing through them last night when I came across some tons and tons of stuff about the United Kingdom. And they're all just different groups for people who are in the United Kingdom. I think one was like United Kingdom golfers, just different niches. It looks like there's something like 40 or 50 different applications inside of Facebook that have something to do with the United Kingdom. That's a lot more applications than I would have expected.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. I pulled it up on Facebook here, and I've got a lot also.
What are you seeing?
Well, I see, one, see, it says Facebook for Good United Kingdom. It's a nonprofit thing, but it has like 41,000 fans. It's even telling you how many fans they have.
Wow.
got local picks, bars.
Yeah, I see that. I don't know what those are. I don't know what those bars are.
Oh, it says the bar / book. It's Ultimate Nightlife Application.
Oh, so it must be another little application.
Yeah.
I see. So, name a market, and I'm going to go see if I can find a social network, a full-blown social network that's just for people in a certain country for that market.
Oh, baby boomers.
Okay, and pick a country.
Well, why not stick with the United Kingdom since we already have it there?
Okay, let's see what we can come up with.
But you know, they might not use the same term as we do here in the U.S.
What do you think they might use?
Oh, I don't know. I would have no idea what they would, what
I actually think most of them do use the term United Kingdom as opposed to England. I'm pretty sure that they do.
Yeah.
Well, learners in Leighton Buzzard, UK is a social network for language learners. That's interesting. Let's see what else I found here. And I don't think you specified anything specific to that other than baby boomers, right? And this one is called Boom J. It's the most visited baby boomer social network on the web. BoomJ.com. And this article just came out about 6-7 weeks ago. Boom J, the leading social network for baby boomers and Generation Jones, was the single most visited baby boomer social networking site according to an August 2008 Compete study. In addition, BoomJ notched over 500,000 additional unique visitors than competitors, including Eons and TBD.com, according to Compete.com traffic statistics. Now, this actually got picked up in Reuters. This news comes following a recent Comscore study that found that BoomJ is one of the top 50 global social networks. Wow. And apparently within BoomJ, there is a very large audience of people from the UK.
Wow.
Now, I had never heard of that site before. Had you even heard of that one?
Never.
Learn something new every day, huh?
Yeah, just BoomJ.com, that's it?
You got it. The three that they mention are BoomJ.com, Eons.com, which is EONS.com, and then TBD.com, T like Tom, B like Boy, D like David.com. Really interesting. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that I really get my teeth into. I get excited looking into this kind of stuff. It's something that I think anybody, when they really sit down to do it, can easily do if they think it through enough. I like to get out my little notepad and just kind of scribble and sketch and doodle almost, but to me they're meaningful doodles, to try to build the plan of what I need and how I can achieve it and how I can get it. Because sometimes it's just a matter of brainstorming with yourself enough to be able to really find exactly what it is you're looking for. Now, this Boom J, they said they have 500,000 unique visitors. Well, there's only 57,000 of those visitors from the U.S. The rest of those visitors are all from some other country other than the U.S. That means 450,000 unique visitors per month are coming from elsewhere. That's a lot of traffic. A whole lot. I'm just looking to see what else I find out about the site.
Was that a monthly, you said?
The Boom J? No, it's free. It's a social network.
Oh. But well, the unique visitors, 500,000
per month.
Per month. Cool.
Yep. That's a lot of people, especially when you think about 450,000 of them being from outside of the U.S. per month. So that is a big deal. Now, one of the other things that I have seen on a number of the bigger social networking sites is that many of them will actually publish right inside the site their actual demographics of their users. Why would they show us that, Shelby? Any idea?
Well, any visitor that comes can see what it is and know that it's actually an active community and it's very active.
That's part of it.
Part of it.
I agree. Want to take another stab at what the rest of it could be? Why would they publish these kind of statistics on their site?
Advertising purposes.
You got it. And that's usually where you would find it. You normally find any kind of demographics that they tell you about their visitors under either press kit or advertising or media kit or something along those lines. What they're trying to do is tell all kinds of advertisers, people who would pay money to have a presence on their site, what products would be most appropriate simply by telling them who their audience really is. Those are the types of statistics that are going to be most reliable. One of the best sources for that kind of data when you're looking for the statistics about their website visitors, one of the best resources is to look for a magazine in your niche and look for their online version of their magazine. I don't think I've ever seen a magazine site that did not also have all kinds of demographic statistics and some sort of a media kit or a press kit. Wow, I just went to eons.com and to Boom J. And it's amazing how much those two sites look the same. If I wasn't paying attention and didn't know exactly where I happened to be at, I would not realize that those two sites were different. That's how much they look alike. Now, why is that relevant? Well, to me, what that says is that more than likely, both of these sites did their homework. And I would really guess, just seeing this, that when they did their homework, they both ended up using the same sources of data, because it's just too surprising that they have such similar looks to them. They're the exact same color baby blue website, for example. The layout of their navigation bars is very, very similar. And those kinds of things don't just happen by accident. typically they happen very much on purpose. I don't know which one came first, but I can tell you that eons.com has about 333,000 unique visitors every single day. Knowing that, I would say that the eons.com site, if you're in the baby boomer market, is more than likely going to have a bigger audience for you, but it may not be as diversified as what the first one is that we talked about, the Boom J. Now, they do have an advertise piece on their site, so I'm going to go take a look and see if it tells us who their audience is. Usually this also tells you the types of, yep, they do, power of the eons demographic. Okay. After an important first year of learning, eons is launching a new site design along with enhancements that reflect what we now have become, the online community for boomers. A boomer is a spirited adult from 1946 to 1964 and beyond, who wants more out of life. The booming generation. The 77 million baby boomers represent 26% of the population, accounting for approximately 48% of U.S. families. Baby boomers are enjoying a longer life expectancy. Boomer men who live up to age 65 can expect to live almost another 17 years. Women, another 20. Boomers' active lives. Baby boomers are active online, and compared with all other demographics, including male boomers, women aged 35 to 54 constituted the highest proportion of web surfers in 2004. Baby boomers make up 65% of the National Association of Women Business Owners, and 86% of female entrepreneurs say they use the same products and services at home as they do at work. That's out of the Center for Women's Business Research. Boomers' purchasing habits. The 50-plus market is 2 to 3 times more likely to spend on fitness, health, and wellness products and services. Baby boomers are adventurous. Nearly 68% of women over 35 say the older they get, the more they enjoy trying new things. Boomers aren't planning a passive retirement. 85% look to retirement as a time for learning and self-discovery, 65% for reinventing oneself, 51% for a new beginning, and 88% is a new phase of personal growth. Then it goes into boomers' work and money. The 50-plus market has $3 trillion. That's not million, not billion. $3 trillion in disposable income, and controls 70% of the nation's wealth. Households headed by someone aged 55 to 64 had a median net worth of $112,040 in 2000, 15 times the $7,240 reported for the under 35 segment. Baby boomers enjoy an average annual household income of more than $56,000, with an average annual spending per household of more than $45,000. Total annual income for the 50-plus demographic is $2.4 trillion, which accounts for 42% of all after-tax income. Baby boomers make more than the younger counterparts, and they intend to keep earning income. 8 out of 10 say they don't plan to retire. Still an estimated 52% increased in 50%. I don't get that. With an estimated 52% increase in 50-plus women in the workforce by 2010. And then it gives you some place you can contact them for more information about advertising opportunities. Now, one of the unique things that I pick up in reading that, and that's the purpose I read it for, is that every single thing that it talked about in there was something about national or this country or something that indicated, just if you read between the lines, that more than likely this particular audience is more heavily U.S.-based as opposed to more heavily based in other areas of the world. If we looked at that boomj.com, we know from that one article that it is primarily based out of the UK. So you definitely want to compare so that you have a better understanding of what you can do. Give me another example.
Another example of another market?
Yeah, either another market or another geographic area or something else that you're interested in.
How about cooking?
Oh, there's a good one. Oh, hey, and one last thing on this Eons. One of the other things to pay attention to when you look at the advertising section or the media kit section, see what it says about targeting opportunities. It actually says here, targeting opportunities include geographic. You can target by state, zip code, city. So any of those are open to you in terms of targeting your ad. In other words, you can take your ad and have it shown only to people who live in certain cities, or take your ad and show it only to people who live in a specific zip code. So knowing those little details can really help you to totally change the face of your promotion.
That does for the health profile.
Yeah.
You know, they have diabetes, ED, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and all of that. That's excellent.
It really is. I mean, you know an awful lot more. You really got power when you're going in to do something and really try to do something to advertise the business when you've got that kind of knowledge. It is power. It makes it so much more profitable in the end, because it's no longer a guessing game. You don't have to sit there and wonder, will the visitors like this? Do you think they might want to see that? Well, now you really know exactly what it is they're looking for. It's just a matter of giving it to them and helping you to find a way to create it for them. That's where the difference is. Cooking. What country do you want to look at cooking in, Shelby?
How about China?
Oh, there's a good one. Okay, let's see what we can come up with for cooking China social network. AsianSocialNetwork.org. Google invests in a Chinese social network. It's called Tianya.cn, Tianya.cn. And that has a huge section on Thai, Indian, and Chinese cooking.
Cool.
Let's see what else we can find. BigOven.com is a recipe social network that has a section in it just for Chinese people. And what else do we have here? GroupRecipes.com. It is another social network that has another section just for Chinese. No, that couldn't be. Well, we'll have to go check this out. Wok Fusion, W-O-K, Fusion, F-U-S-I-O-N, wokfusion.com. Looking at this Wok Fusion, it doesn't look like it's a social network. It looks more like an AdSense kind of site, to tell you the truth. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's like a mini site.
Yeah, it is.
It's based in Chicago.
I see that. Well, that one's probably not going to be what we're looking for. Let's see what else is there. Oh, this is interesting. Hang on, I think I found something really interesting that can help lead us to some other places to look. Now, this is interesting. The National Security Agent The National Security Agency is now using social network analysis. If the NSA is indeed amassing a colossal database of Americans' phone records, one way to use all that information is in social network analysis, a data mining method that aims to expose previously invisible connections among people. Social network analysis has gained prominence in business and intelligence circles under the belief that it can yield extraordinary insights. I'm just scanning this to find the part that talks about social networks that we know. This is an older article in Wired.com. And part of how I know it's an older article is just because of what it's talking about. Goes on to talk about a Chinese Wikipedia. The China's biggest internet search site is Baidu, Baidu.com. They have launched a Wikipedia as part of Baidu.com. So if I was interested in looking for social networks that had something for cooking, but had primarily people from China, one great place to look for those would be using this Baidu.com, or even looking at the, and it's in Chinese, that's going to be a challenge. Even looking at, maybe they'll let you type it in English. Let's see if it does. Looks like it actually might. It sure does. Has about a social network for baby boomers in China interested in cooking, Shelby?
Well, that sounds great. What's the site for that one?
That is fabulously40.com. And then in Facebook, there is a group called Big Organic Network. And it says Big Organic Network is the best social network of the organic industry. Come and join Big Organic Network. I focus mainly on food and cooking. changing the world one bite at a time. let's see, what else is there? Aha! And there are a couple of MySpace groups on the topic as well. Now, this is also helpful to see things like, are there more groups in Facebook? Are there more groups in MySpace? Search engines are a great place to see that. Now, let's see if there's any difference between looking at this same search in Baidu and somewhere else. There are an awful lot of sites in here, and you can actually read them. They're not, some of the stuff is, definitely in, I don't know what the Chinese characters are, but in Chinese characters, so you can't read it. But all of the descriptions are in normal English letters, so you can read it. Now, a lot of the sites that they point you to are putting you to sites that are just all in Chinese characters. That's a bigger issue. There is a translation site on the internet. Have you ever used it, Shelby?
Oh.
I want to say it's Babelfish, maybe?
I think you're right. I think it's B-A-B-E-L.
I'm pretty sure that is it. So even if you wanted to make use of something like this, you could go and use Babelfish to translate what you're finding into English so that you'd be able to better understand it. That would be very, very helpful. I've had to use Babelfish on a number of occasions in the past, and it does a really, really good job. I have a couple of subscribers from France that write to me often. And I am not French, I don't speak French, but I usually can make do simply by tossing what I've got right into Babelfish and just letting it make the translation happen for me. You'd be surprised at how good their English is. And I do think that they do Chinese. That's what I was trying to make sure of. So is this kind of topic helpful, Shelby?
Oh, extremely.
So what will you do differently after learning about recession-proofing your business?
You've got some really bad echo for something. You're disappearing.
Let me see if I can fix it.
Well, you did that.
Is that a little better?
Oh, that's a whole lot better.
Okay, turn my Bluetooth headset off for a minute. Let's see if I can turn it back on onto a different headset and make it still not go back to that echo. Hold on. Okay, so how's this, Shelby?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Good. Well, I think the other one was just starting to fade out and die because I had been on it all day, so So what I was asking you was, what will you do differently?
Differently.
In your business, what will you do differently after learning more about recession-proofing your business today?
More demographics, searching to find, you know, where would be the best opportunities for you to be able to get your information out to more people.
Yeah, that's what it's really all about. And I think the only way you're really going to be able to do that is if you are able to really get out there and do the research. Research is so important.
Yeah, you're right. It is. You know, I mean, when I look at this, you know, you just look for sites and stuff like that, you know, that pertains to what you want to do. But knowing the research, you know, actually tells you what people are looking for and if that would be the best thing for you to do. If there's not that many people looking for it, it'd just be like a lost, you know, a dead end.
Precisely. You've got to make sure that you really know that there are people who, and more than just looking for it, if you're really going to make money with your business, you've got to know that they're not only looking for it, but that they're actually spending money on it. Without them spending money on it, I don't care how strong your relationship is with them. The likelihood of you actually turning that into cold, hard cash in your wallet is not very high.
Well, that's true.
I can see that we've got at least a couple other callers on the line with us, but I cannot find a way to be able to unmute anybody. The only caller I can actually access to unmute, Shelby, seems to be you, which is odd. I don't know why that's true. So what I did was I also enabled the chat system from Blog Talk Radio. So if you've got some questions or you want to say hello, come on into the chat and take a look and just type me your questions there and I can at least get those answered here on the line for you. That way you've got something, it's better than nothing. And I'll continue to try and find a way to be able to unmute other callers as well. Just introduce yourself in the chat and let me know who you are so I can ask your question on the air for you. Also, if anyone has a website that they'd like for me to take a quick look at and give you some critiques and some opinions about how your site can do a better job of building relationships with your audience, I'd be happy to do that, whether that's a website, a Facebook profile, some vehicle that you're using to help build relationships. Okay, Shelby, sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
So where were we? Oh, I know where we were. Now, I wanted to take a couple minutes today and go take a quick peek at our LinkedIn network. I've noticed in our Facebook group, we've got about 75 or so members in there this week. We had 6 at the beginning of last week, so it is definitely growing. That is great. I'm really happy to see that. I think we're going to see some bigger things inside of the LinkedIn group, so I'm going to go take a look at that real quick. I haven't looked at it since before Thanksgiving here in the U.S., so I'll bet you any money we've got some new members. See what it says. There it is. I'll tell you how many people we've got in our LinkedIn group now. Oh, now we don't have that many people in the LinkedIn group. We've got a lot more inside of the Facebook. We only have 4 new members inside of LinkedIn, which is very disappointing. It looks like I'm going to have to get working and cracking on this and make it work a little faster. Want to help me, Shelby?
Of course.
Oh, no, I lied. It's not. It is 9 people, not 5. 9 people. But still, we've got to get that bigger. I was hoping that we'd have more in LinkedIn than we did inside of Facebook. I'm not really particular, though. I wouldn't mind growing both of them instead of just one versus the other. I think that's a good idea for us to do.
Of course.
The whole point is we really want to be able to take a look at what is going on in these different groups, how they are growing, and use them to be able to find a way to systematically grow your business using these social networks. If we don't get adequate feedback and we don't get people participating, then we're going to have a much more difficult time putting together that system that everybody can use to build their own businesses. So I'm really hoping that we get more people involved in the project, whether it's in Facebook, LinkedIn, or both. It doesn't really matter to me. The whole point is in 60 days, we want to be able to build a network of 5,000 direct connections so that we can create a system for doing that that can allow anybody to come in and easily reach that level. Let's see, what else does it tell me inside of this Facebook group? No, this LinkedIn group. I think that's all it's really going to say. I promise you I will put some effort in this week, though, before our next show, on what we can do to make that a little stronger. Hey, I see Carrie's joined us. Hello, Miss Carrie. You're on the air. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Just getting the off-to-school duties done.
Ah, well, you missed a good call, I think. How about you, Shelby? Was it a good call?
Oh, it was for me. It was excellent.
What we've been talking about today, Carrie, did you hear any of it?
No, I just got in. My cell phone's out of minutes until next week.
Ah, well, the topic today is recession-proofing your business using social marketing. And what I mean by that is something very specific. What I'm talking about is in recession-proofing your business, because we've got a truly global internet, as long as you are not relying on any one country to be more than 20% of your overall business, you are really able to set yourself up in a way that is truly recession-proof. So I used that topic to then start looking at, okay, well, how can we grow more people and reach more people in social networks from overseas so that we can really make sure that you are building a business that is truly recession-proof? And so we were looking at a number of things. Number one, social networks like Facebook or MySpace that are truly global that you can go into and find people who live in the countries you want to target, so that you only invite them to become your friends. Then we took it a step further and said, okay, well, what if we really still want that same market, but just aren't quite sure how to go about doing it? Another thing we can do is go out and find social networks just for people in that country. So we were looking at a bunch of different examples, like baby boomers in the UK, and cooking social networks in China. And believe it or not, they both exist. There's a lot of them. And some of the sites that we found were really kind of surprising. Not what I expected to see at all. So I'm anxious to hear your feedback after you listen to the call because I think you're going to enjoy it.
Sounds really good.
So we were just taking a look right now at the LinkedIn network from last week, and I'm all disappointed because we only have 9 people who joined us. But the good news is we do have about 63 in the Facebook group, so that's a darn good start for our 5,000 people in 60 days.
So within LinkedIn, are you saying a group within there?
I started Relationship Marketing 101 during the show last week, and there's only 5 of us that have joined.
Am I in there?
You are.
I am. I'm still tripping over myself trying to learn my way around LinkedIn. And
it is tricky, isn't it? It's not that it's tricky. It's more that it's unfamiliar.
I guess so.
I think that's a better way to say it. A lot better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfamiliar to me as well, so understand that and appreciate that I'm stumbling along with you. How's that?
Well, that makes me feel better.
I don't think it's going to take long to pick it up. The big challenge for me with LinkedIn is that they have changed their layout probably, I don't know, 2 dozen times in the last 2 years. They've changed it a lot. So the way that it used to function is not the way that it continues to function today. Because of that, everything's in different places, and I think I know what the term is that they use, but then they've changed that too, and it can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
There's really only one way to really get in there and figure it out, and that is to just get in there and figure it out. So if you just get in there and figure it out, just stumble around until you get it. That's about the only thing that's going to make you feel comfortable with it, I think.
In LinkedIn, to add contacts, do you have to know them? I don't see a way to really surf and check people out.
You only have to know them if you're, I think, up to 3 levels deep. And after that, I think they prefer you to have a recommendation, if I'm not mistaken, or a letter of introduction, either one. And that you can just go and ask anyone who's already one of your contacts to help you get.
Mm-hmm.
So the easy way to find new contacts to add in LinkedIn is to start out with just 1 or 2 people that you do know. So even starting out with me and Shelby, for example. Then go through our networks and see who within our network you would like to connect with. Add those people. Then just keep expanding a little bit and a little bit, a little bit, until you actually have a decent number up there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, a little. I'm actually poking around in there right now. When someone has 3rd next to them, what does that mean, that they have 3 levels?
I don't know. That's a good question. Where do you see that?
I just went under people, and I see that somebody has a like an icon next to their name, and it says 3rd, though I don't see anybody else that has an icon at all. So
I don't know what that means. Shelby, do you?
3rd.
No, what was it again?
Well, I'm looking at this lady named Katie Fisher. And I noticed that she has it next to her name everywhere. But I don't know what that means. Because I don't see anybody else with that next to them. I'm trying to figure out what in the world that would mean.
I have no idea.
Oh, and now I see someone that has a second next to their name. Huh, strange.
Well, I wonder if that means that they have two profiles or three profiles.
Maybe.
Give me a name and tell me where I would find the thing to see this.
Like say, maybe if you just put in like the name Katie Fisher, you can see that it's on hers.
I'm going to look.
And Jeanette Fisher has a second. So.
Let's see what I come up with when I'm looking. Is it Katie?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you spell the last name?
Fish.
Oh, just the normal way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what I come up with. Well, there are no items matching my criteria. Oh, where did I search? I didn't search the right place.
And you know how I found hers? I just went into people and I just put health in is the only keyword I put in and said search. And then she came up top.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's nice to know.
So I didn't know. So you can just, on your first level, you can say, I've never been this far where it says you don't have to know them. You just write, you know, I don't know Katie and add her to my network. So I'll start working on this and start adding my contacts. There's always so much.
Okay. Don't know that I would say I don't know them. You are going to get a lot further if you can find, either find somebody that you know that knows them or something along those lines. Because if you just say that, no, you don't know this person,
mm-hmm.
That person is not going to be very likely to actually act on your invitation.
Hmm. So get introduced. Request an introduction.
Yes.
How does that work?
So if I'm doing an introduction, it might be something like around the corner I usually do it. An introduction would be something like, let's say I wanted to introduce Shelby to you. I could say something like, hi, Carrie, I wanted to introduce you to my assistant, Shelby Carr. Shelby's been on the internet for about 5 years. Her primary website is theprofitcheck.com. I think the two of you should connect. Something as simple as that.
I noticed when I clicked on, after an introduction, it says included a brief note for Jennifer Carter, so perhaps she's in Jennifer's contacts. Yeah? Because I don't know what Jennifer
is
this person.
Good question.
Interesting.
Place to that is interesting. Say that again.
This is a good place to explore and play and get better familiarized.
It is. Now, this Katie Fisher is not coming up for me. And I don't know why. Search for a person. Yep, I'm searching for people. Let's try it one more time.
Okay, yeah, now I can see. So Jennifer is one of her contacts, so I can just get a...
Ah, there you go. I'm sure Jennifer would do that for you.
Mm-hmm. I'll Okay, now I think I understand. So what those circles are telling me is that she was on my third level because of Jennifer.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Jennifer has a first circle next to her name, I noticed now. I've never seen
it. Oh, and I see it. Yep, I see it as well because she's on my third as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool. So every time you see a circle next to someone's name, you know that they're connected to you through someone else.
Precisely, and it's telling you what degree of separation.
Oh, cool. Great.
Now, if, and I said this earlier on the show as well today, let's say you've got somebody that you'd like to connect with, but you don't have a direct connection to them. There may be the third line down, or the fourth line down, or even further back. If you can write a powerful story that would help both illustrate who you are as an expert, as well as at the same time build a connection for that person you're trying to connect with, that would really be extremely powerful, and it might even void the necessity for having an introduction. So the example that I had given was my dad used to be president of North American operations for a Japanese company. If I wanted to start, say, a Japanese internet marketers group, I could tell the story about how growing up, because of my dad's affiliation with this Japanese company, I really had a lot of interaction with the Japanese. I got to appreciate their culture and their beliefs and all kinds of stuff. And now that I'm all grown up and I'm building my own business on the internet, I decided it would be a great time to reconnect with all those people that I loved so dearly back in my childhood. And so I've decided to start the Japanese Internet Marketers Association. I decided to start a group here on Facebook to connect with other marketers or something along those lines. That would be even more powerful than having an introduction, usually.
Cool. I see that Anne sent me an email. She says she's been on the show but can't get a message through to you. I wonder if
Well, Anne, I'm so sorry. I don't know why you can't talk and I can't see you.
Probably because maybe she's online. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm supposed to be able to see people who are online.
Oh.
That is so weird. And it looks like I've got somebody in chat, but it's just not connecting there either. We've only got about 90 seconds left on the show, 60 seconds up. There you are. Hey, hello, Anne. And Anne is sitting here in my chat trying to tell us that we're looking at the second and third degrees on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, Anne. Well, I am looking for anyone who has some suggestions for upcoming shows. If you have some, send your emails to admin team@theimuniversity.com. Ms. Shelby and I will sort them out so that we can get some good shows scheduled for the next coming weeks. This Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I am putting on a 3-day workshop webinar that you can join even in your PJs if you'd like. It's called the Traffic Systems Workshop. You'll find it at fggg.com/traffic. And that's it for today. We will see everyone on next week's episode of Relationship Marketing 101.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you ladies tonight.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Ms. Shelby. Take care. Hey, Anne, if you can still hear me, call me.